Hello again, and welcome to Studies in the Gospels, a program heard each week here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host for this program. And on Studies in the Gospels, each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At this time in our studies, we are looking at Jesus' last days with his disciples before the cross. And today we are going to be in John chapter 13, and we will be looking at verses 1 through 20 today as we consider Jesus' washing of the disciples' feet. So let's go to our text now, John chapter 13, and get right into our study today, verses 1 through 20. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter. And Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you, before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Let's begin by considering the need that we have to be washed. Jesus is now near the end of his earthly walk. In our text in John chapter 13 today, Jesus displays the servant attitude by washing the feet of his disciples. He was very soon to fulfill the greatest servant role of all by taking on our sins and bearing them upon Calvary's cross. Now, let's go back to verse 1 in our text. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The Lord Jesus had loved his disciples all the way to the upcoming cross. Jesus knew that the time of his departure and his return to the Father was at hand. Now back to verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Now, though Jesus and Judas both knew that Judas was about to betray the Lord, the others were not yet aware that it was Judas. And after the supper had ended, Jesus begins to take water and wash the feet of his disciples. Peter realizes that it should be the other way around in verse 6 when he said, Lord, are you washing my feet? But now, notice the reply of Jesus in verse 7. Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter would not understand at this point why Jesus is washing his feet. But Jesus tells him that he would later understand this. Peter would understand later that this was not just simply feet washing, but that something far greater was being taught, even though he would not understand it now. Jesus will teach them so that they will later understand. But at this point, Peter is still very confused. In verse 8, Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." At this point, our beloved friend Peter needed to just be quiet and think and listen. Jesus makes a point here that is very clear. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. The words of Jesus cause a quick change in the attitude of our beloved Peter. He goes from, "You shall never wash my feet," in verse 8, to now notice verse 9. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Impulsive Peter rationalizes that if Jesus has to wash his feet for Peter to be with the Master, then his thought is, then Jesus, just bathe me all over. Again, you just have to love Peter. However, Jesus quickly dispels what Peter is thinking. Verse 10. Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." The one who has bathed is clean and only needs to wash the feet from walking. The body of this individual is already clean. But Jesus points out that not all of the disciples are clean, spiritually speaking. Indeed, one of the disciples had not bathed spiritually. Jesus is speaking about being spiritually cleaned. Notice Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Now, think back to verse 8. The spiritual washing or cleansing is the only way to have a part with Jesus. Verse 8, Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Peter was not understanding all of this. And so as we get to verse 11, Jesus now gives us more insight into what he is talking about. Verse 11, "For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.'" Jesus said that the 12 was already clean except for one of them. Judas is not clean. Judas is now caught in the clutches of Satan. Judas is no longer a true disciple, and he is not clean spiritually. Those who deny self and follow Christ receive the spiritual cleansing. But those like Judas who follow anything else will not be cleansed. Consider Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Baptism is the place of the initial washing and cleansing. Recall Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, in the words of Ananias when he was sent to Saul of Tarsus. And now why are you awaiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Paul would explain this well in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Just as only your feet will get dirty if you walk barefoot on a dirt path, the spiritual comparison is there with the faithful Christian that pursues righteousness. They will occasionally stumble, but not pursue sin. Christians need an occasional foot washing in the spiritual sense. Let's recall 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, notice verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" Jesus now puts forth the question to the disciples. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, had washed the feet of his subjects. Would they understand what this had meant regarding humility and service? How should you and I respond to such love by our Savior? In verse 13, Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." Jesus' teaching gives his disciples the application of what he is teaching. Jesus does not deny who he is. Jesus is the master teacher, and he is Lord. And therein lies the meaning of what he had just done to the disciples. Go to verse 14. "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. If the Lord served them, then the least they can do is to serve each other. Jesus had given them the example. They should do as he had done for them. The humility of Jesus was far beyond what they had grasped previously. Verse 16, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." If we are not willing to serve others, then we are raising ourselves to saying we are greater than Jesus. And no man can claim that greatness. Jesus Christ humbled himself to the point of offering himself up for the sins of the undeserving. In verse 17, he said, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." We are blessed by understanding Jesus' example and giving ourselves up to others. Serving even as Christ served. He sacrificed himself completely, even to the death on the cross that he did not deserve. Verse 18, Jesus said, "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives who sent me. Jesus points out that there is one among them who would betray Jesus. Jesus had just served his betrayer. How painful would that betrayal be? Jesus did not send Judas away before he served. He sent him away after washing his feet. Are you and I willing to serve the one who would lift his heel against us? Jesus washed your feet by going to the cross in your place. Jesus gave his life on your behalf. Serving Jesus means giving up yourself, your own life. Do you faithfully serve others? Do you place your self-interest at the bottom of your priority list? Will you be a servant, faithful and true? If you truly love Jesus, then you will also truly love your brother, your neighbor. I want to thank you for joining me today as we've looked at these lessons from Jesus washing the disciples' feet in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. If the Lord wills, when we meet at this time next week, we will consider the events of the Last Supper. I look forward to that. I hope that you will join me then. Again, remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. And again, if the Lord wills, I'll see you next week at this same time, Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, here on Studies in the Gospels on the Gospel Radio Network. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless.